Blog Talk Radio. Hello, praise the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Liz Marie, here on the Stars of Heaven Network 22, and I hope that you are enjoying your wonderful Wednesday on this beautiful summer day, and I am elated and excited to be here once again to minister more of the 14-year anniversary celebration of Brides of Christ Women's Ministries. And I'm honored that you've joined me. Thank you so much for stopping by my feeds and here on Stars of Heaven Network 22. And I'm excited to share more with you from this beautiful celebration. And I tell you, it's really been edified and a blessing following the 4th of July celebrations, which were a blessing to me. My 4th of July weekend was beautiful, very peaceful, and it culminated with fireworks that I could just watch right from my window. And I tell you, there was something very awesome about that. I love fireworks, and to see them in great display throughout the night as they lit up the sky was just beautiful. And I tell you, my heart was just bursting, and my soul was just being released from just watching the fireworks. And I was excited about that. And I hope that you enjoy your 4th of July weekend and holiday with your family. And I certainly hope all is well with you and yours. And I'm excited to be here to declare and proclaim more of the good news. Yes, the good news. And I tell you, we can always use good news. And I'm so honored to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which again is the good news. And hearing the good news is the thing that brings miracles and brings change. And I'm so honored the Lord has anointed me and has elected me and commissioned me, as well as all of us who have received them as personal Lord and Savior, to preach the gospel. And that's however you do it, via internet, telephone, text. Paul said, as long as the gospel is preached, let it be preached. So I'm an honor to share more with you as I am in the 14-year reign of doing just that, ministering God's word. And I hope you are being blessed thus far by the celebrations. And if you missed the last podcast, feel free to check it out now. I shared the first premiere broadcast of the celebration, and this is the continuation of the Victorian reign. And I'm excited about that because he gave me the Victorian reign liberty, encore, for the 14-year anniversary. And what I'm going to do before I get into the proclamation, declaration of the message for the celebration for today, I'm going to finish with the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave me for the foundation of the celebration. And it's all on my website. You can go there, riseofchrist.org, and see the whole montage celebration there and catch up. And I'm going to be reading from Ephesians. When I was with you last, I read from Isaiah, where he declared that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to perform that which God has commissioned by way of the anointing. And I tell you, that makes all the difference, because without the anointing, nothing happens. Nothing's happening. Nothing should be happening without the anointing. And today I'm going to read from Ephesians, which is a scripture that he also gave me for the celebration. And for the Declaration of Liberty 2022, encore. Now, this scripture, again, is coming from the Amplified, and most of the scriptures I have is going to be from the Amplified because I love how it reads. And in this epistle written by Apostle Paul, it's entitled Made Alive in Christ. Made Alive in Christ. And that's the thing that I love about liberty, enjoying my liberty that I have in Christ Jesus, and the liberty, the civil liberties I have here in the earth realm. And I love that, because in liberty there is life. There is life. There's no way you can have liberty and be dead. I mean, you can be dead if you're not aware of your liberties and you're not practicing and enforcing and defending your liberties. That's also called oppression. But liberty speaks of life. And this is exactly what he's saying here in Ephesians, the second chapter, 1-8, where he says, and you have you made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sin. So he's making it very clear that me, you, are made alive by Christ, who died for our sins, who was resurrected on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We are now spiritually alive. He said, who was once spiritually dead and separated from him because of what? Sins and transgressions. And again, that is the whole issue, and that's the whole answer to what ails us in the earth and as souls. It's sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin causes us to transgress against our neighbor, sin against our neighbor. So the whole root of whatever you're going through is some form of sin or transgression or something that's generational. And I'm not saying a lot of times it's intentional, because a lot of times when we sin, we don't even know we're sinning. But he's saying here it's because of our transgressions and our sins that separate us from God. He says in verse 2, in which you once walked, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the children of disobedience. So he's saying that now that you are born again, if you profess Christ, he said that when you accept Christ, that you're now alive, and no longer are you walking according to the ways of this world, which is influenced by the prince of this present world, which is also principality, powers, spiritual within high places, rulers of the darkness of this age. And that's another reason why I love the Venturian age, is because it, to me, is one of the ages that really represented purity and even our faith. Now, that's in any age, especially now, because God is God of all ages, but I love the fact that that was one of the purest ages where you could really see the moral stance and true faith be manifested. Okay, so he goes on to say that we all once lived in the passions. And let me go back up. Who fight against, now at work in the church of disobedience, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers who all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by sinful self, indulging the desires of the human nature. He says, without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of sin of the sinful mind, we were by nature children under the influence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being so very rich in mercy because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he has made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have now been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together with him when we believed. So that means when we confessed him as our personal Lord and Savior, when I confessed him over 40-some years ago, I am now born again of the water and the Spirit. And that 30-plus years of me believing in Christ come by me confessing my sins, repenting, recommitting, asking him to heal any backsliding, anything that I need to be delivered from, anything I need to be updated on and upgraded on, has kept me seated with him together in Christ Jesus by his grace and his mercy and his favor. Now he goes on to say in verse 7, and he did this so that in the age to come he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Hallelujah. Providing for our redemption. And he provided for our redemption by his blood, by his teaching, by the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. By his right hand, by his presence, by his promises. Hallelujah. He goes on to say in verse 8, for it's by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. And the King James Version says, it's by grace that you say, through faith, not of works, which the man should boast. That's been by God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing us to him, that you've been saved. Now, he goes on to say, delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. Faith, not works. Faith. Because we believe that Jesus came, lived among us, sat among us, preached, teached, and gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and now he's resurrected. So it's now we receive eternal life by faith, by believing that what he did, he's doing in us. He's done in us, doing in us. And he said, and this favor or this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, precious, gracious gift of God. So it says, by faith are you saved through grace, not of works, lest any man shall boast. So we can't earn salvation. You can't work your way into heaven. And that's the thing that many people who are religious in their deeds attempt to do. There's nothing wrong with having tradition or religious or being religious, as long as it's by spirit and it's alive and you're ever growing and expanding and evolving as a result of your practices and your belief. Now, the next scripture that I want to give you was Acts, the first chapter, the 6 to the 12 verse. And this is, again, when the Lord said to me that what he did before, he'll do it again, and by his resurrecting power. And that's when he said there shall be a performance of those things. And I was really excited about him giving me Acts, the first chapter, the 6 through the 12 verse, because this is exactly what it declares, that what he did before, he'll do it again. And he's going to do it by his power, his resurrecting power. And he's going to do it again in this time, in this dispensation of grace. Which means what? A new thing. A new thing by the same thing. Now, this is what he says. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and up to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's saying here that what you're looking for me to do, I'm going to do. And don't get caught up in the times and the seasons and when it's going to happen. You see, because what you need is power. And the only way we're going to get power is what? To tarry in his presence, to understand what he's saying and what he's doing according to what he shows us, according to how the power of God is working in us and through us to perform that which he has purpose and plan. So certainly the stage is set. Yes, it is. And there should be performances of those things. But it's going to be, again, in what God's time and in God's season, because he's what? In control of our life. And if we're in the will and we're doing things according to his will, we can't rush it. We can't rush it. And we will know, you will know what the will of God is in its conclusion, in its completion, whether that thing that you believe in God for or that thing which you've attached yourself to or married to or committed to is of God. It shall speak and not lie. Hallelujah. So that's why we have to be careful. You know, what we believe in God for. Because with all due good intentions and us doing the right thing based on love, we have to make sure that it's sealed and endorsed by God and that it has the Father's love on it. I mean, a little departure there. I don't know why I said all that, but someone needs to hear that. He said, make you witnesses to me and to the utmost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Hallelujah. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, while they gazed upon him, while they were looking at him, he was taken up. God took him up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven, as you seen him go up to heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, I was really excited to for him give me that, because he was saying the same thing I did before, is that he that ascended is the same that descended. So God said, don't marvel. Don't think it's a mystery about what I'm going to do. Because if you're reading the book and you're studying the book, the Holy Scriptures, it tells you. And he said, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were angels. The angels declared the message. The same Jesus that went up is coming back. So we just need to be what? Prepared for him to receive us into heaven, into the what? Holy city, the New Jerusalem. And that's why it was so important for him to be taken up. And it's more important for them to return unto Jerusalem from the mount, because that's where Jesus now resides. He was taken up to. He made heaven anew. Now, I'm glad I was able to finish the foundation of scriptures for the 14th year anniversary. And now I'm going to get into the declaration that the Lord gave me today for today's message, today's celebration. And when he gave me this, it's something that every believer, I believe, has to continue to rebuke and bind and be watchful for. I know I do. And I entitled this message, "Stop Spying Out My Liberties, Discover Your Own." Stop spying out my liberties, discover your own. Stop spying on me. Stop hacking phones, eavesdropping. You know, no more sending the imps to spy. Because that's what the enemy does. And it doesn't matter what form it comes in, it's still the enemy. And you have to have an understanding on why this happens. It's just not someone being nosy and gossiping. You know, it's that too. But it's a greater understanding in depth to why that is. Because people who are bound, people who are hell-bound, people, the children of disobedience, to be exact, be specific. Those who are God has turned over to the will of the devil, to the devil who ripped the kingdom from them, all the dawn stars, and those who are the children of disobedience, those who are in rebellion against God. The enemy will use anything, anyone to spy out your liberty. And a lot of times, the people who do this are those who profess to be believers. And so I have Galatians, the second chapter, first to the fifth verse. And the title of the Amplified says, "The Council at what? Jerusalem." The Council at Jerusalem. And that's ringing in this portion of the celebration, Jerusalem, because that's where it's all happening. It's all coming from the new heavens, the new Jerusalem, the holy city. It's coming down. It's happening now. And one of the things that I was so excited about is how the first verse starts, where it says, Then after a period of what? 14 years. A period of 14 years. And I was like, wow, God, that is so divine. That's so divine. Then after a period of 14 years, that's what? Completion. So God has a time. Like he said in the previous verse, my times and seasons, your times and seasons is in my hand. And after a period, after at the time of fulfillment, completion, he said, I again went up to what? Jerusalem. This time with Barnabas, taking Titus also, along also. He said, I went up to Jerusalem because of a divine revelation. And I put before them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I also did so in private before those of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run the course of my ministry in vain. So what he was saying here is that after he went again up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and then he took also Timothy, he had a divine revelation. And in him putting before the gospel to preach it among the Gentiles, he said, I did so privately of those who of a reputation. And those who of reputation were those who believed in Jesus but didn't want to publicly acknowledge him. Those who had reputation, which means dignitaries. And he said, for fear that I might be running or had run my course in ministry in vain. So he was also afraid that, or concerned about, should I say, about ministering to those who have reputation. And that he didn't want his ministry to be, his course to be ran in vain or his ministry to be in vain. Because people who have reputations or make themselves of reputation often are those who are full of pride and lifted up, or because they have a certain office, they don't feel that it's appropriate to minister or to be around certain people, and that's why they were privately seeking his counsel. But as a minister, it's important for us not to be casting our bread for the swine, or not to minister to someone or people who will not receive us. But if a person's not receiving Jesus publicly, you have to question whether or not they really believe him. So I just wanted to say that. Let me go to verse 3 where he says, but all went well. Oh, but all went well. His concern was about running his course in vain or his ministry being in vain. He said, but it all went well. Went well, for even Titus, who was with me, was compelled, as some had anticipated, to be circumcised, despite the fact that he was a Greek. He said, my concern was because of the false brethren, or the false brothers, those people masquerading as Christians who had been secretly smuggled in to the community of believers. They had slipped in to spy on the freedom, the liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us back into bondage under the law of Moses. But we did not yield to them even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would come to remain with you in purity. Hallelujah. And that's what he gave me. He said we have to beware of those who profess to be of Christ, because these are those who will spout your liberty to take you back in bondage under the law of Moses. And they were preaching what? Grace. They were preaching grace. And that's something that believers, true believers, have to really be weary of, those who are still operating from the law, to put you back in bondage. And that's why he declared this celebration, Liberty 2022. And you have to be careful who you fellowship with and who is really ministering the word. Are they really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it that word setting you free to keep you in the purity of the gospel, to keep you in the simplicity of the gospel? Because when you hear the gospel, it should all go back to Jesus Christ. It all should all go back to Father God. It should not speak of a man or a woman's ministry. It should speak of the liberty of Christ and what he did. And so this is what my declaration was when he gave me this. Stop spying out my liberties and discover your own. Because your liberty is given by what? Truth. By truth. And that's what he says. So that the truth of the gospel will continue to remain with you in its purity. Hallelujah, in its purity. And so be careful of those who spy out your liberty. And that's oftentimes done by people using their gifts the wrong way. Sorcery, false prophecy, saying the Lord said and he didn't say, using the word of God to seduce or to declare false declarations and decrees. And that's why it's important to know what the Spirit is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you in your house. Know the Lord for yourself and have a relationship with him according to your covenant. And know your liberties, know your rights, spiritual rights. And I tell you, that's how I'm able to rebuke and bind and bind up those things that come from those who spy out my liberty, those who will try to spy out your liberty. And you don't have to take it personal because it's a spiritual thing. So whom the Son set free is free indeed, truly free indeed. Now, before I close, I want to share this beautiful experience that I had with the Lord, and it was a song that was birthed in my spirit, in my soul, that I began to sing in the spirit, and as I was singing this song along with the angels, because I was hearing what they were saying to me, and I just followed the melody and the words that came to my spirit, and this is the hymn that he gave me for the 14-year anniversary celebration, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. The Lord loves my singing. The angels love my singing, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I wanted to include it here. And the song talked about bells, 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 bells. And I tell you, as I was singing this song, there was such a liberty going off in my spirit. There was such a joy going off in my soul, in my heart. And this was later on in the evening as everything was, you know, winding down. And I tell you, the celebrations really just birthed this in. It really did. And I was just so in the spirit and caught up in the third heavens and just in the heavens. With the heavenly choir singing this song. So I'm really excited and honored to release it and let you sing it and feel it by the anointing that in which it declares bells. And so the thing that I love about bells is that they're a blessing. I use bells in my spiritual practice. And I tell you, I told you I'm really unorthodox. And one day I'll share some of the things that I do spiritually and the other side of my spirituality that I don't share with people, but I'm gifted. I'm gifted. And the blessings of bells, which is something that I use in my devotion, are used to announce the arrival of the celebrants. And I love that. The arrival of the expectant as well. And it's also used to invite the guardian angels, the archangels, and the fairies into your sacred magical space. And that invitation is for them to offer protection and wisdom. And I love using my bells when I in my devotion and in my meditation. And the ringing of the bells are not just for the blessings of their presence, but they're also used in a way to clear out negative energies. The energy that the bell creates reverberates and is by some considered to be a pleasant vibration, or is a pleasant vibration. This vibration is a calling to the energies and elements, and so that their presence are welcome and encouraged in the mystical sacred space. Now, the pure divine positive vibration is essential in the invitation and calling forth the elements, which are air, water, fire, and wind. And the ringing of the bells are also used to clear out negative energies and to banish, expel other spiritual elements that are not welcome. And that's also by binding and loosing, because I make sure it's all together. It's all together. I know how to conjoin the energies and use coming from source, which is God, to make sure that my space is clear. Hallelujah. And the bringing of the bells really cuts through those minor or those major spiritual disruptions that can be carried or brought in by ghosts or spirits or other elements that are not welcome. And so in my using my bells, I'm always clearing the atmosphere. And those bells have such a strong tinging, clinging sound that I love. And I meditate to my bells, and it really helps clear me. Now, I want to include, before I close, Zechariah. In Zechariah, he's talking about bells. And it says, in that day, there will be written on the little bells, on the horses, holy to the Lord. And the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be holy to the Lord, like the bowls before the altar. Every cooking pot in all the houses in what? Jerusalem and Judea will be holy to the Lord of hosts. And all who sacrifice will come and take them and boil their sacrifice in them. And in that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite, that is, any godless or spiritually unclean person, neither Jew or Greek, in the house of the Lord of hosts. So he's saying that there's no, like Paul said, there's neither Jew or Greek. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And when we cook up our offering, mix up our ingredients that God gives us, and we do it all together, he says it's going to be glorious in his house. Hallelujah. It's going to be glorious in his house. And the thing is, again, is to make sure that God accepts our sacrifice, that it's well-pleasing to him. We want to be like Cain, who killed his brother because he was jealous of his offering. We want to make sure that God accepts our offering by what? Doing good, being obedient. Hallelujah. So I wanted to include that last scripture, and I tell you, I'm excited to share more with you in the coming days in celebration of the Bride of Christ Women's Ministries 14-year anniversary, as well as my being saved, because I got saved in this time, in this season. And I tell you, I've been thinking about how he saved me, how it all came to pass, how he sent his witnesses, his three witnesses in different seasons, and they planted the other water. God gave the increase, and then I was filled with the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. And I tell you, I to this day, I'm changed, forever changed, and I won't go back. I won't go back. I don't want to go back. So with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. Thank you so much for being here with your host, Lisa Marie. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening. And I will speak to you soon. Love you. Love always. And take care.